Welcome to Historical Jesus. I'm Mark Vinette. Upon learning that she would conceive and bear a son through a virgin birth and become the mother of Jesus, Mary hurriedly prepares for a trip to visit her older relative Elizabeth, the only person she knows who will be able to understand her situation. For Elizabeth also is miraculously with child. The Magnificat is a hymn, also known as the Canticle of Mary. Its name comes from the Incipit, or first few words of the Latin version of the text taken from the Gospel of Luke, where it is spoken by Mary upon the occasion of her visitation to her older cousin or maternal aunt, Elizabeth. In the narrative, after Mary greets Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, the latter moves within Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth praises Mary for her faith using words partially reflected in the Hail Mary prayer, and Mary responds with what is now known as the Magnificat, one of the 8 most ancient Christian hymns and perhaps the earliest Marian hymn. Let's scrutinize this story from the infancy narratives along with theologian pastor Dr. Ralph F. Wilson.
Infancy narrative. Mary visits Elizabeth, based on Luke chapter 39-56. While Elizabeth's husband had doubted what the Lord had told him and was mute because of it, Mary had believed. This very trip south to Judea was evidence of her belief, for she was acting it out, coming to visit the one person whom God had prepared to help her, Elizabeth. Now Mary, too, breaks out in Spirit-inspired speech. Her first words are an utterance of praise to God for His awesome blessings to her, and sound very similar to the inspired Psalms of the Old Testament. She, who was a peasant girl in a provincial village, that's pretty humble, is now one whom all generations will remember and give thanks for. Verses 46-49. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. The focus is on the Lord, God my Savior, the Mighty One. The first verb in this paean of praise is Greek megalino, to cause to be held in greater esteem through praise or deeds, exalt, glorify, magnify, speak highly of. The first word of this passage in Latin, Magnificat, has become the name of Mary's psalm of praise. While the words soul, psyche, and spirit, pneuma, are used, we should look at this as an example of Hebrew poetic parallelism rather than denoting separate elements of Mary's psycho-spiritual makeup. Mary both glorifies and rejoices. The Greek word agaleo means to be exceedingly joyful, exult, be glad, overjoyed. The same word used of Jesus when joy wells up in Him at His disciples' report of the demons being subject to them on their preaching trip. The voice of Mary's joy is God my Savior. That is, God who is the one who brings me salvation and rescues me from every trouble. Mary is caught up in joy in the Lord. She contrasts her humble state as a servant with God's greatness. She refers to Him as the Mighty One, dynatos, an adjective meaning able, capable, powerful. And she concludes by affirming His holiness. Holy is His name. What a wonderful psalm of praise. Mary's Magnificat is strongly reminiscent of Hannah's song of praise in 1 Samuel 2, 1-10. Hannah has been barren, but God answered her prayer, and now He brings her a young boy, Samuel, to the temple and dedicates him to the Lord to live in God's house. Compare the first line of Hannah's psalm to Mary's, and you can see the similarity, as both women exult in God at the miraculous birth of a child. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 2:1. My soul rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. And then Luke 1:46-48. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. While the first section of Mary's Psalm of Praise gives praise to God, the second recounts some of the examples of God's saving acts towards Israel. I'm reading 49 to 55. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. One theme is displacing the proud, mighty, and wealthy from their high estate, and in their place exalting the humble, the hungry, and poor. It sounds much like Jesus' own mission to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, quoting Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The other theme is God's faithfulness to those who trust him, or, in Old Testament language, to those who fear him. God's salvation is an outworking of remembering and acting on his own promise to Abraham nearly 2,000 years before, the faithful God showing mercy and salvation to those who trust him. Luke 1:56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Though Mary's return home is mentioned prior to Luke's account of the birth, I think it is likely that she remained with Elizabeth until Elizabeth's baby was born and then returned home. By this time, Mary's own pregnancy was showing, or was about to. Mary had certainly been an encouragement to Elizabeth and Zechariah, but I think God had planned it especially for Mary's benefit. Upon returning home, Mary would be subject to cruel taunts and slander. Here she was safe. Upon returning home, Mary would have to stand on her own spiritual feet, lonely, misunderstood, rejected. Here she was loved and accepted. Elizabeth had asked, verse 44, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" God provided Elizabeth to Mary as a kind of spiritual grandmother, a pregnant grandmother at that, who would nurture her and encourage her in the Lord. Elizabeth was her instructor and teacher, her friend and confidant, her mentor and advocate. God gave Elizabeth to Mary for a special period of time and a special purpose. I can't help but think that God may have these roles for each of us, too. Perhaps you are a new Christian struggling hard to understand and make your way. I believe God has someone for you who can help and guide you. It's likely that you'll find this mentor at church. That's where God-loving, mature believers usually congregate, or perhaps a small group meeting related to the church. I encourage you to pray that God would enable you to find an Elizabeth to help you during this period of your spiritual journey. You may be a more mature Christian that God is preparing to be an Elizabeth to some Mary out there. You've been through your own share of pain and struggle. You can understand. You can sympathize. You have now found how to walk with the Lord, how to call upon him in need, how to pray. There's a Mary out there who needs you. Be on the lookout for her when God sends her along. You have your struggles, to be sure, but Mary needs to watch you meet them with the Lord's help. Mentor-protege relationships don't usually last for decades unless they mature into a more equal partnership. Mentorships may last for a few months or a few years at most, and then they end, sometimes painfully, but sometimes because the protege has received what she needs and now must move on and try her wings on her own. Things change. Elizabeth was now a mother for her glorious first time, and it was time for Mary to go home. Don't mourn the end of a mentorship, rejoice in it. Rejoice for how God has blessed you, and that God could use you for that special intimate time. And pray that the gifts and understanding of God that you've passed on to your Mary might bear fruit in her life and in her children's lives forever.
Throughout this series, I've had the pleasure of collaborating in some way with many excellent podcasters, fellow historians, authors, broadcasters, contributors, and history groups. I've posted the entire list of these wonderful collaborators for your perusal and enjoyment on patreon.com/markvinette. Along with a few of my audio comments on the world of podcasting, exclusively made available to our lovely Patreon members. I'm Mark Vinette. Thank you for sharing your time with me. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.